Welcome everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another interview on Small Caps Investment Research. We're thrilled to sit down with Ms. Nicole Brewster, the president and CEO of Renforth Resources, Inc. Renforth is a mineral exploration company that focuses on easy, accessible Canadian-based gold projects. The company is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange with ticker symbol RFR. Nicole, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Since this is our initial interview, can you give us an introduction of Renforth Resources?
Certainly. Renforth, as noted, it trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange, and the symbol is RFR. The company is proud to hold five wholly owned gold assets concentrated in Quebec and one in Ontario, Canada. We have approximately 180 million shares outstanding as we're speaking. We trade with a good degree of liquidity, and we're a very active junior exploration company, moving towards being a development company.
Okay, terrific. Good to hear. Thank you. Let's go over your projects into more detail. The first three that I want to discuss are all situated in the heart of Canada's gold country, the famous Cadillac Break. The first project is New Alger. Would you describe this project for us?
Certainly. New Alger, as you note, is situated on the Cadillac Break. It covers approximately 1.4 kilometers of strike of the Cadillac Break, and the entire 1.4 kilometers of strike is mineralized. It's all gold-bearing from surface down to our current deepest pierce point of 404 meters. There are a few interesting things to note about New Alger. The first is we did identify a splay or a secondary occurrence of the Cadillac Break on the property, situated about 250 meters south of the Cadillac Break mine area of the property. We've stripped 270 meters of gold on surface. That's an interesting setting because it mirrors the setting of the Canadian Malartic mine, which is intrusives and gold in the Pontiac. So we're doing the same. We've got gold in the Cadillac Break, and then we have gold associated with intrusives in the Pontiacs. Another interesting thing to note about New Alger is the Cadillac Break portion of the property, over approximately 800 meters of the strike, hosts the historic Thompson Cadillac mine, which was last active just prior to the war. In fact, the war shut the mine down. It had been operated by erratic ownership groups in the 1930s, and it produced a total of 21,000 ounces out of only a couple mined galleries, leaving gold underground, as noted in the records of the time, prepped and broken in stopes. What's interesting is that former mine sits on the Cadillac Break, and it had two shafts. The deepest shaft was only 343 meters. Mine records of the time indicate that there was gold in quartz veining in the floor. But that shaft is only about 850 meters away from the westernmost shaft of the historic O'Brien mine, which is the next door historic mine. They're on the same veins. That's accepted, acknowledged. It was known in the 1930s that they were on the same veins. So we're sharing the same vein structure, but what differentiates us is our potential as opposed to the O'Brien mine. The O'Brien mine, the shaft went down to 1,100 meters and was mined to a depth of 1,500 meters. They mine more than 500,000 ounces out of O'Brien, largely in the vicinity of that shaft and shafts further east. So we share the structure, but our mineralization, our maiden resource, started at surface and went to a depth of 200 meters. We're currently restating, reworking our resource, and I expect that by the end of this year, we will be publishing an optimized pit-constrained gold resource. So a potential open pit on surface on the Cadillac Break.
Excellent. I presume the New Alger deposit is open for expansion.
The New Alger is open on strike. In fact, we know that the entirety of the strike, the 1.4 kilometers, is gold bearing. The maiden resource really didn't cover the entirety of that strike. As well, it's open at depth. We can go deeper along the whole thing. Like I said, the deepest pierce point is 400 meters. That's in the associated with the shaft. In the western part of the property, we're much shallower. So we can consider the Cadillac Break mineralization open on strike and on depth. However, what's really exciting in terms of potential The Discovery vein, we've stripped it over 270 meters in its gold bearing. We got one surface result, or a surface result, which lines up with a result at 300 foot depth under the Discovery vein. Historically, they actually drove a tunnel south and they did some development under the Discovery vein, but we have no record as to what they found, except in the tunnel on the way, they noted that they got, and this is historic, but they noted 50 grams per ton of gold over a foot and a half. So what's interesting is our surface work, we got 2 grams, more or less, 2 point something grams per ton, directly above that deeper intersection. So that speaks to depth potential, but all of our work at the Discovery vein is on the surface. So it's open on depth, and it's also open along strike.
How do you see New Alger developing the coming quarters?
Well, that's exciting. As we speak today, we actually are mobilizing a drill to the property. We have not drilled New Alger since January of 2015 because we were concentrated on earning 100% of one of our other assets, Parbeck, which I imagine we'll speak about shortly. So we're going to do our first drilling. We'll get the resource number by the end of the year. And that is going to position us with an optimized open pit resource number at New Alger. We'll be able to further develop that. I expect that'll look like additional drilling to continue to increase the open pit. And I expect it will also look like the very beginning of the permitting and the consultation process to start looking at obtaining large samples starting to walk down the path towards realizing an open pit at New Alger.
Interesting. Now, your second property in the Cadillac break is called Parbeck. Also, this one already has a very attractive mineral resource, right?
Yeah, this Parbeck is the more developed of the two resource properties because, as I alluded to, it's been our focus since we optioned the property in January of 2015. We now own 100% of Parbeck like we own 100% of all of our assets. But as a result of being the focus of our attention, Parbeck has the more attractive resource, which we're currently updating. But the resource of the fall of 2018 was we're close to 750,000 ounces of gold sitting at Parbeck. And again, it's from surface to 80% of that resource is sitting above a depth of 200 meters.
And can you shed some light on the work that has already been conducted at Parbeck?
In the fall of 18, we did the last resource, which we're updating now, but that resource covered about 800 meters of strike of 1.8 kilometers of the Cadillac break at Parbeck. So what we have done is we've drilled off the entire 1.8 kilometers, and we know that it's gold bearing across its extent, but that is not fully realized in terms of resource numbers yet. So there's potential to add ounces on strike. At Parbeck, we've defined a body of mineralization in the volcanics to the north of the Cadillac break that strikes over about 500 meters. It's also the deepest pierce point of the property at about 700 meters. Lots of fill-in to be done there, a lot more work to flesh that out a little bit, but it's a secondary gold occurrence. And then we discovered in the northwest portion of the property, we have a splay of the Cadillac break going into the sediments south of the Cadillac break again. So that splay is associated with gold mineralization, which we see on surface and at some depth as well. And it will be the target of additional exploration also. So we've got 3 avenues that we've been pursuing in terms of adding mineralization. And the interesting thing is we can look to the next door property, which is the former East Amphi mine, which is owned by the current Canadian Malartic mine, which we are contiguous to. And Canadian Malartic has disclosed previously that they intend to open pit East Amphi, and we're continuation again of the same mineralization that the historic mine was built on. So lots of potential there.
Very interesting. And what are your plans at Parbeck for the next 12 months?
We'll again be in receipt of the updated resource number. Parbeck is the second one that the engineers, the mining consultants are working on. So I expect Parbeck will be delivered later in December or by year end. We'll take that in hand and we'll drill from it. We'll add ounces. We'll add to the model. We'll be pursuing additional thin section work to further refine our lithologies at Parbeck. We also know that we'll be in a good position to have some metallurgical work done on Parbeck and be able to speak in very technical terms about the characterization of the gold mineralization. So you'll see some drilling, you'll see some thin section, and you'll also see some additional metallurgical work at Parbeck in the next 12 months.
Okay, good to know. Now, in close proximity to Parbeck is the Malartic West property. Can you give us some more information about this project and your plans for it?
Yep, certainly. Malartic West is located south of Parbeck. Part of Malartic West is in proximity to the Cadillac Break, and that's an exciting part of Malartic West. But Malartic West stretches, it's a very large property, and it stretches to the south, and it's the entire western border of the Canadian Malartic Mine property. It straddles the sediments, and we can see with available geophysics in the south, we can see that there are structures that are shared between the properties and structures that are unique to Malartic West. We know Malartic West is gold-bearing. It's been sampled on surface in the south, and it's been drilled in the south, and it's been drilled and sampled on surface in the north. We have seen zinc numbers come off the southern portion of Malartic West, which have not seen any follow-up as yet. But what's really exciting and what we are talking about a lot with regard to Malartic West right now is we've made a copper-silver discovery. It's a shear zone in the north, and it's fairly close to the Cadillac Break. It's also in between two intrusives on the property, and it's chalcopyrite and bornite on surface, and there's also silver associated with it. We haven't seen any gold numbers yet, but we're active in the field and actively sampling, and we're not discounting the gold potential of this copper-silver structure that we've found. And then in the southern portion of Malartic West, we do have a large low-grade gold occurrence associated with one of the intrusives and the sediments. We don't know much about it yet. We have to do more work. We're under snow at Malartic West now, so we won't be doing more field work now in Malartic West until next spring, summer. But there's exciting potential to having a large low-grade, if we have any size to the low-grade occurrence, because we are next door to Canada's largest open pit gold mine, and they quarry through a phenomenal amount of rock on a daily basis.
Excellent. Now, the final property that I would like to cover is Nixon Bartleman, which has quite a long history. Would you describe the history and the potential of the project for us?
Certainly. Nixon Bartleman's located in Ontario. It's part of what's referred to as the West Timmins Mining Camp. So a relatively new mining camp in Ontario. The property was, in fact, discovered in the 1920s. There was a small open pit on the property sometime in its history, probably in the 30s. And we do have very old historic records with some very impressive gold numbers, which were drilled and surface sampled on the property. And I myself am the holder of a very impressive specimen gold sample that the prospector we acquired the property from had. The property has seen drilling, it's seen stripping. It's got about 500 meters stripped, which consists of gold in quartz veining. And then when Renforth went out there, the last time we worked this property was also a couple of years ago before Parbeck, we discovered on echelon, so quartz veining that was occurring parallel to the known quartz veining. And that on echelon veining was also carrying gold. We also managed to carry the structure through a very interesting fault on the property. Nixon Bartleman sits on top of the Destor-Porcupine Fault. That's the main gold-bearing structure. But there's a significant cross fault running through the property. And of course, those familiar with quartz gold occurrences know that cross faults get interesting. We did carry the main structure and the main gold-bearing structure through the cross fault, but we also have gold in bark anomaly coincident with the cross fault on the north side of Nixon Bartleman that will be subject to field follow-up next summer. So Nixon Bartleman's been around for quite a while. It was in private hands for a long time. It saw small scale, hand dug mining from the surface, and then it sat in the estate for quite a while. So we're quite excited, and we'll be out there. We'll be doing some more work.
Excellent. Now, despite the tough commodities markets that we faced the past few years, Renforth has always been able to raise sufficient funds to continue developing its projects. Can you share a bit more about your company's finance activities and its shareholder structure?
We benefit from having a very broad retail shareholder base. We've been consistently able to raise money largely from retail shareholders. There is now, as we speak, only recently one fund which has a position in Renforth. Other shareholders, we have myself. I don't get paid cash. I accrue on the balance sheet and get paid shares once a year, as does our CFO. So both the CFO and myself are fairly significant shareholders. I am associated with a consulting company that also is a very large Renforth shareholder. And then we have three publicly traded companies with significant positions. I go through this exercise every once in a while where I can typically arrive at about 60% of the shares and not have to write much more than two dozen names down to figure out where those shares sit, either with very specific syndicates of retail shareholders or sophisticated investors on their own. So it's fairly tightly held.
Okay, good to know. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the other key executives of the company?
Sure. I worked as, and it's how I became involved in Renforth, as an exploration contractor. I work with in a boutique firm that provides exploration, geological drilling, all those sort of services. My expertise is some of the computer stuff and the logistics and the corporate development. That's how we became Renforth shareholders, actually, but it's also my personal background. And I grew up in the world of mining because my father's a career worldwide exploration geologist. So it's something I understand. And I've known about since I was a little kid. So that's my personal history. Other key executives we have, our CFO is very competent and works for many Canadian publicly traded companies, wealthy families, and certain U.S. entities actually as well. On our board, we have several working engineers. We have a retired British finance executive. We have a practicing Canadian accounting executive, a partner in a firm heading our audit committee, so keep an eye on everything. And we have a geologist, geophysicist who has a long and worldwide respected career. So we're fairly broad and deep in terms of talent.
Nicole, as you just indicated, you have already been involved in the mining industry for many years. So that makes me very curious to find out your view on the gold market. How do you see it developing in the coming quarters?
Oh, this is probably going to be dated as soon as it comes out of my mouth. But I see the gold market being fairly positive in the coming quarters. I don't think gold is trading on the basis of or behaving on the basis of anything it's ever done before. I think we're in new territory. The development of the ability to trade paper gold as opposed to physical gold is causing a lot of what I'll call noise in the market. Physical delivery still attracts a premium in Asia, at least. Our current trade issues and economic gyrations between the U.S. and Asia, we don't think are going to end well for the U.S. And I think one of the biggest detriments to the price of gold has been the faith and the unwavering belief that the U.S. dollar is unassailable. And I think we're going to see the U.S. dollar ultimately suffer, which is a very contrarian thing to say, given that I think the market today is hitting new highs. But I do think we'll see gold appreciate. Gold is a store of value. It's immutable. Nobody has any claim on it. And in a lot of parts of the world where there's a lot of unrest, that's a very real thing to have something that's absolutely immutable and, you know, in your hands. So I am a gold believer. It's not been a popular thing to be for a while, but I remain. I do think we'll see. They're calling for $1,600 gold at the end of this year now. I don't know that we'll quite get there, but I do see gold going higher. More importantly, I see gold ounces becoming more critical because the major gold production companies need to replace the ounces they produce, and they have not been making any effort to do that for a while. So I do think that's going to become another interesting reality for gold exploration companies.
Now, before we go, what would you say are the two or three most compelling reasons for a long-term investor to consider Renforth Resources today?
Well, a long-term investor is probably going to look at the fact that we have blue sky in terms of ounce potential, which is sitting outside of our current or our currently being redrafted resource statements. For example, when we come up with our optimized open pit ounces, there will be ounces outside of the pits, which can come into the pits with additional drilling. We also have depth potential and strike potential on both properties. There's also a strategic reason to own Renforth in that I do believe, and as I've said, we're not seeing the replacement of ounces by exploration companies. And you take Renforth, which is positioned with wholly owned, very prospective brownfield assets in established mining jurisdictions where you have security of law, and the drive of these companies to need to replace ounces, I think we might start to see M&A raise its head. It's too soon right now. I'm always talking to people, but I'm not pushing anyone because we've got enough going on. We want to realize on some of it. But you should not lose sight of the fact that Renforth is in a location where we can toll mill our ounces. We never have to build out CapEx. We don't have to build full mills. We can just custom mill anything we take out of the ground. So that's a significant savings to ourselves or to anyone who might acquire any of the assets. Very last potential reason to own Renforth would be what is the path I'm starting to walk down now, which is the very early stages of developing gold assets. We're moving towards building mines. I'm not sure we'll get to build a mine before the potential becomes obvious to a potential M&A partner, but we are going to go down the path of opening mines, so you could be purchasing shares in one of what will be one of Canada's next gold mines. So those are your three reasons.
Fantastic. Nicole, we really appreciate the time you've taken to speak with us today. All the best to you and Renforth Resources, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Perfect. Thanks very much.